So we've arrived at the second Sunday of Advent, and there are two candles lit behind me on our makeshift Advent wreath, and two candles on your notes as well, if you've printed those off. And so I don't know if you had a chance to read the note from yesterday. I engaged in a slight bit of melodrama, but just to give us an idea of the reality, I guess. So let me read this first paragraph as we jump in here, looking at the risk of Mary at Christmas time. There were so many reasons to say no. So many what ifs. What will my family, friends, fellow villagers, even strangers think? What about Joseph's reaction? Many would have begun the round of questioning with, why me of all people? While Mary probably wouldn't have considered herself a risk taker, something about the intimacy of her relationship with God, her leaning in to his love, to his leading, created in her a posture of heart that made submission to any and all plans of her good God seem both wildly uncertain and supremely safe. Mary's vibrant faith in the face of the angel's startling pronouncement freed her to speak those fateful words, be it unto me. And as I said in my note yesterday, I mean, when I think of it in this way, and as I pondered what a 21st century angelic visitation would be like, it really makes, in a very fresh way, Mary is my hero. And so I think we need to see this whole idea of risk at Christmas, and now looking at the specific characters here in these next few weeks, Mary is definitely one of those who takes a risk of, you know, this leap into the unknown, this leap of faith, as she is visited by the angel. So I want to read what part of Luke chapter 1 that we didn't read last week, the middle section. We read the first part and the last part. And now I want to read the middle part that talks about Mary. And this, reading it like this, is a really stunning and fresh take, I think. And so I'm just going to read out of the NIV this morning, but let's kind of listen as if we've not heard this story before, because there's really some astonishing things that I want to pull out for us. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "Be it to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. You know, there's some incredible stuff in this story that we've just heard. And I know we've heard it many times, but I just want to go over some of the specifics that I see in this story as we consider Mary and her position and her willingness to take risk. So the first point here in A is declaration. This is the angel. And so what it wants to look at in verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. And the word, there's a Greek word, obviously, that is used here that refers to alarmed agitation or cast in her mind, looked everywhere in her mind, kind of, you know, in our word, you know, I think it'd be kind of like she was momentarily freaking out, greatly troubled. It's like, oh my goodness, there's an angel standing here, first and foremost, and she had no covers to dive under, as I looked at it yesterday. But when it's greatly troubled, we read over these words and we don't allow them to sink in. That here, she's probably, my guess is, never seen an angel before. Never one that has come specifically to her. And so she's wondering at this point. The only thing the angel has done is greeted her, but greeted her with these words, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And, you know, so Mary's probably trying to think, highly favored? Why? And what, you know, there's work here that the Lord has been doing, looking, and he's looked at Mary. He's seen Mary. And he's chosen her because he's looked upon her with favor. She's the one he's searched about and found her. And that's just right away, it's amazing because sometimes we have an idea that, you know what, we're nobodies and God doesn't see us. Nobody really knows we're around. It really isn't a big deal. But here's the angel who announces himself as, you know, he says who he is. And Mary has to cope with the idea that God's been looking at her and has found her to be worthy of his favor. So she's wondering what kind of greeting this is. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God." And then he says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus." If I were Mary, and I'm not and not likely to be, but if I were Mary, I wouldn't hear anything else the angel said after this. "You are to be with child and you're to give him the name Jesus." And then he goes on to describe more about this child. But Mary is stunned, I'm sure. And she stopped at, you'll be with child and you're going to give him the name Jesus. But the angel, while Mary's still off trying to figure out what that means, you know, the angel continues and says, he'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will never end. I am positive Mary, after the angel left and she got her breath back and she got her heart out of her throat, was able to review those words, trying to figure out, what does this mean? What did he just say to me? And so that Luke says here, he's recorded as she was greatly troubled. You know, let's not underestimate how incredibly impactful those words were to this young girl. And so first that's what she says. And then in verse 34, of course, with all the other questions Mary could have asked, she just says, how will this be? Like, how is this going to happen, what you're talking about? And so she's showing us here that she's an average human being. And she's like, this makes no sense to me. Like, I don't know, first of all, why it's me, but I don't understand how this is going to happen. And I'm not sure about you, but if I'd been Mary and the angel explains it this way, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Really? What does that mean? You know, Mary's never heard of this happening before. So the angel, sometimes this is, to me, this is one of the reasons why it's better sometimes not to ask for clarification, because you get information that you can't process. And some, you know, it's so if somebody decides, you know, my favorite thing to go to is you ask a question about quantum physics and someone gives you the answer. Are you any better off, unless you're Brian Anderson, are you any better off at the end than you were before if you've gotten this answer about what quantum physics is? No, your mind is still like, I didn't understand the thing that they just talked about. And so, you know, it's a little bit like when I was in chemistry class, I never understood a thing they were talking about. So that was not to be my domain. I ruled out being a world-renowned scientist because I couldn't figure this stuff out. But so Mary's asking the question that we would want to know too. Well, I don't get this. How is this going to happen? So she's like us in so many ways. She's got the same questions we would have. And she probably didn't understand how this was going to happen either, even after the angel told her, because I don't think she had that kind of supernatural insight that was given to her. And we'll talk about it a little bit in a minute. And then the last thing in this, under the declaration, in verse 38, Mary's response. Now, I'm thinking when, you know, the angel gives her this word about Elizabeth, her relative, being, you know, in being 6 months pregnant already, the one who was called barren. And then he ends with saying, nothing is impossible with God. My guess is, and this is just a guess, and there's no indication of this, but there was a very long pause between verse 37 and verse 38, because Mary had to figure out, am I really going to do this? Am I going to accept what has just been told to me? Because I think she had the opportunity to say, no, keep looking. I am not the one you want. And so she pondered all these things. And then she says, I am, present tense, the Lord's servant. I am, right now, I am his servant. And so she says, may it be to me as you have said. And I think when she says, may it be to me, she's saying, I still don't really get it. And I don't really know why. And I'm not sure how. But whatever is included in what you've said, may it be to me. There's a lot of unknown. And so that's why I think what she saw in this assignment was wildly uncertain, but also supremely safe, because she knew who God was, and she knew his faithfulness, and she knew her love for her. Something that we all need to aspire to be that confident when God speaks to us. We have this knowing that this is wildly uncertain what he's asking you to do, but it's also supremely safe because that's who he is. And you remember when in the Chronicles of Narnia, when Aslan, the lion, was there, and I forget who says, is he safe? And I think it was Mr. Beaver said, safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. And so I think when Mary says, may it be to me, that's the confidence that she had. I don't know how this is going to play itself out, but I'm in. I am the Lord's servant. So there it is. So now let's move on to the second thing. And under B, it's the blank there is confirmation. And I almost smile when I think of this, because when the angel, why did the angel give Mary the detail about Elizabeth being pregnant? And the suspicion is that this is her aunt, an elderly aunt, and had never had children, obviously, Zechariah and Elizabeth that we looked at last week. But I kind of smiled like, why would he give her that detail? You know, it's almost gossiping. You know, it's like, even Elizabeth, your aged relative, is now 6 months pregnant, you know? And so the reason I think the angel, that God gave the angel that detail to give her, is, hey, Mary, if you want just a little bit more confirmation, because the last thing the angel said is, nothing is impossible with God. And so in verse 39, there's a hurried visit. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Why did she hurry to visit Elizabeth? If I'd been Mary, I would have wanted to make sure that her elderly relative was really 6 months pregnant, as the angel had said. I would have needed to see that for myself. Let's go see. Maybe she'd not heard this and it was news to her, but she was just like, wow. And you knew that, remember, Elizabeth kind of went into seclusion at the beginning for several months. And so, you know, they were keeping it secret. And I don't think they were having baby reveal parties back in those days. So nobody was kind of aware. They were just kind of keeping it hush hush until they could be sure this was truly happening. And so Mary rushes off to visit her relative, not just to visit her relative, but to see for sure, is this really happening? Because if her relative is truly 6 months pregnant, that would be such a confirmation to Mary. Oh, the angel said nothing is impossible. So I also could truly be pregnant, as he says, however that was going to work itself out. And so she hurries off to see Elizabeth and this most amazing visit. She has no idea how amazing the visit is really going to be. And so let me just reread what happens when she gets there to Elizabeth's house in verse 40 to 45, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Put yourself in Mary's position. She greets her aunt, who is obviously at this point 6 months pregnant. And Elizabeth doesn't just go, "Oh, Mary, it's so wonderful to see you. Thank you for coming to see me." No, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. She becomes prophetic, and she exclaims to Mary. And remember what Mary says, you know, later, "All generations will call me blessed." So here is the very first time someone said, "Blessed are you, Mary, my young niece. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And then she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then she speaks about this. There's this immediate Holy Spirit connection. The baby she's carrying recognizes the presence of the Holy One, the Son of the Most High, the one who will be called the Son of God, his cousin, and this baby responds in her womb by leaping. That Elizabeth recognizes her baby is leaping for joy. Like, I don't think this has happened before in all of Scripture. And Mary's there, and she's got to be blown away at this point. She was not expecting any of these kind of things. And that Mary speaks these things, and she says, "Blessed is she who has believed." Now, Mary's not told her anything yet. She hasn't had a chance. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So Mary is like, "Oh my goodness, what is going on here?" You know, so Mary's just probably newly pregnant at this point, and she's rushed off to see her cousin. And Elizabeth has this prophecy. So number two there is Elizabeth's prophecy, the first prophecy over Mary, and it's not to be overlooked that the first prophetic word after the angel came from another woman. So we can all cheer, you know, God is continuing to mess things up with the status quo, and he keeps elevating women to this high and holy calling. And so here's Mary. You know, it's hard to picture what emotions must be running through her mind after all of this has happened. You know, if she needed any further confirmation that God was with her and she was favored, you know, without saying anything to Elizabeth, Elizabeth was absolutely not knowing that Mary was coming. She had no idea what had been spoken to her, what had just happened to her. And all of a sudden, she speaks out, she exclaims in a loud voice. She's just overcome with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know whether she did that whole prophetic word in tongues or not, but it's recorded for us in our language so that we can understand it. And then immediately in here, in Luke's recording of this, is see the exaltation, E-X-U-L-T. Mary breaks into this prophetic song, which is often referred to as the Magnificat. And so here is Mary's song. Let me read it again. She's just made this journey to see if there is anything that coincides with what the angel told her. And Elizabeth absolutely comes unglued with this prophetic pronouncement of her. And then Mary can't help herself. And she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So she begins this way, recognizing that what the angel has said has just been confirmed through Elizabeth's words. But then the rest of her song is total prophecy. Now, let's remember, women, but certainly young girls, were not trained. They went to synagogue, but they went in the women's section, where they weren't expected to learn anything. It was the men who were taught. And basically, what happened in the women's gallery was mainly a gossip session. I'm sure some ladies actually listened and tried to get it. But for the most part, it wasn't expected of them. They were to be there, but the men were to be the ones who were trained. So I don't think Mary had really gotten much of this, but all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit, she speaks these prophetic words. Let me read them again from verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. You know, so here's this entire prophetic utterance, which is totally initiated by the Holy Spirit. Mary probably found herself saying things she'd never considered before and never put together before, and is speaking these things out because of the confirmed angelic word through Elizabeth's prophecy. And now Mary is now set. She knows what's going on. She understands this, and she stays for another 3 months with Elizabeth in Elizabeth's home. So she stays, Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant. Mary goes and stays 3 months. So she leaves just before the baby's born, goes back home. At this point, Mary is 3 months pregnant. And then, of course, later on, they have to make the journey to Bethlehem for the tax, which we will read at another time. So here is this absolutely astonishing story that Mary, who would have said, if she could have said this, she would have said, I'm just a nobody. I'm in a little town. Nobody's heard of me. My family, nobody's heard of my family. Most people don't even know Nazareth and couldn't find it on the map. And, so who am I that God would do all of this to me? And suddenly she finds herself in the middle of a God-initiated breaking in of his kingdom, ending 400 years of heaven's silence, these 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Mary is at the very point as the kingdom breaks in and transforms all of history. This is just an incredible, strong experience that she's having. But if it hadn't been for that, we'd have never heard of Mary. I mean, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of others, we've just never heard of. But all of a sudden, Mary recognizes that she has been transported to the very center of God's story, and no one will ever again forget her. And so it's just an incredible thing. And I love the song, Mark Lowry's song, Mary, Did You Know? All of these penetrating questions that are asked, and wonder, does she even know half of these things? And she probably discovered them as she went along. But at the beginning, I'm sure she had no idea, she had no way of working this out. So Mary takes a risk and says, I am the Lord's servant, be it to me as you have said. And so one of the scriptures, one of the versions, I think the Passion Translation, the angel said, when the angel speaks to her, he says, Mary, don't give in to your fear. I love that. I don't know whether it was that or the voice, one of the others that I read, but don't give in to your fear. I love it because that's a good translation, I think, because Mary was human. She was a young girl, and she was being given words that were absolutely enough to freak the normal person out. And so, of course, there was fear that would rise up, you know, and if she'd been in bed, she would have covered her head. You know, it's the only sensible thing you do when you're visited by an angel, in my opinion. And so she had to think about this, and she had to hear the Lord say, do not fear. And she had to make a decision. All right, I'm not going to fear. I know my Heavenly Father is faithful and he's good and he won't harm me. So I'm going to say yes, because of the confidence that I have in him, which is a great word for us in this Advent season. As we continue to listen for God's voice, and most of, if you're like me, you're hoping that he'll never send an angel in the middle of the night to scare the living daylights out of you. But if he does, could our faith in him, our understanding of his goodness, bring us to that place of being, once we get our pulse back to some normal and we can actually speak again, other than in our helium-filled fear voice, you know, that we would actually be able to respond to him and say, with Mary, I am the Lord's servant. Be it to me as you have said. And like Abraham, when he was told to follow, and he said, well, what shall I do? And the angel said, leave your family. The angel said to Abraham, leave your family and go. And so that's what Abraham did. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't even know the destination. And so there's a lot of precedent in the word to follow the Lord's leading, even if you don't know what it all means. You know, and as I mentioned in a note a week or so ago, you know, it's like the fear of getting down on one knee with an expensive ring in your hand, asking someone this fateful question if they will marry you. And, you know, hoping, of course, that they will say yes and not just thank you and make you wait for 4 months. But that's okay. I've forgiven my wife for that. And so we want to get to that place of saying, confidence in you, Lord, makes me able to say, I am your servant. Be it to me as you have said. So did Mary take a risk? Oh yeah. Did she have the ability to say no to the angel? In God's goodness, I can't believe she didn't have the opportunity to say no, just like we have the opportunity to say no, but hopefully we will not do that. So Mary's yes changed every living moment from that point to her last breath. Nothing was ever the same again. But would she have changed it? I don't think so. Because what she experienced from the hand of her Heavenly Father went way beyond what she ever could have known or experienced otherwise. And so it's frightening and thrilling and exhilarating and roller coaster-ish. But let's do that and let's consider the risk involved, this gift that God gives us of stretching ourselves beyond what is maybe comfortable or familiar and taking that leap from the disbelief into a discovery that will transform our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for being merciful. Thank you for looking around at your children and finding those of us who find favor in your eyes, and choosing us, choosing the likes of us, those of us here on these squares on the screen, choosing us to accomplish your purposes. And with Mary, we'd say, how is that going to be? And you will say, I will be with you. And so, Father, would you cause our faith to be challenged as we hear your words to us? And could we say, yes, I am the Lord's servant? This Advent season, as we consider risk, as we sit in these very familiar verses and realize what it meant to the first participants in your story, and the challenges and the delight and the glory that came with listening and obeying what you call them to do. May it be true of us. And we bless you at this beautiful season during this second Sunday of Advent as we consider the peace that is ours in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Horace, take us to prayer, please.